if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show. 2AO with Bill Radio is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RB. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A, Second Amendment. 2aradio.com. is the website. It's way, not two A's and Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What do we talk about here on the show? We talk about guns, gear. We talk about the right to carry. We talk about open carry, concealed carry. We talk about open carry movements. We talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much more less restrictive. Much more less? That sounds weird. And make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock, it's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911, whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles, there's commentary, there's certainly my opinion, and then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call in to the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial free. It gets right down to the nitty gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes, of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up in the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio.
QA Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. By the way, I want to let you know I got a couple of different emails over the weekend saying that folks were having difficulty downloading the shows off of the 2A Radio website in the archive section. That's been rectified. Happened yesterday. William Riedel, the my webmaster, in fact, found a couple of code errors, some problems with the codecs. Went in there, fixed it. It's all fine. A lot of people go on there and just push play, sit at their computer, do something, and listen to the show. Others like to download it, put it onto an iPod or an MP3 player of some kind, and then play it later or plug it into their car stereos or driving, something like that. So those of you who download, it's fine. It's back up and working. I was sent a message that said no worky, so it is now worky. So you guys can go on there and download all you like. Also, just so you know, on those broadcasts that I put up for archives, there's two places to find the archives for 2A Radio. One is on the republicbroadcasting.org site for RBN, the actual network that carries the show. You can go there, you can sign up, it's $1.33 a month. You have access to everyone's show. You even have access to shows for hosts that aren't even on RBN anymore, but they have had shows before. So every show that's ever played on RBN, for the most part, is available on the archives. It's $1.33 a month, which is a maintenance fee. On my site, on 2aradio.com, I have my shows up there, and they are commercial-free. Those are edited out. So you get sent about 46 minutes. So there you go. Gunsight Academy is an excellent place to train for firearms training. Has been for many years since Jeff Cooper founded Gunsight back in the 70s. That was really the first place to go where you could have modern defensive pistol craft and defensive firearms training. Jeff Cooper sold Gunsight in about 92 or 93 to a fellow by the name of Richard Gee. And Richard Gee owned the place and changed a few things up. I actually went to Gunsight. The first place I ever actually got real live, honest to God, firearms training was at Gunsight. So at Gunsight, that was really my introduction to, I guess, really learning the gun handling and marksmanship for being able to defend yourself. That's really the being the main place that started this under Jeff Cooper. It was really the place. I was really happy to go there. I went there just before I went into the police academy. I went to the police academy maybe 4 or 5 months later, which was very good because I went into the police academy knowing how to shoot. I did not have to go through a learning curve like a lot of people did. They never had any proper training. Some of them never had any training at all. They went into the police work and had never fired a gun. So anyhow, that worked out really well. Then Richard Gee sold it off. Really, he kind of ran the place into the ground. And in 1999, he sold it off to Colonel Buzz Mills. It was effectively in 2000. I think it was like in December of 99 he sold it off. And Buzz Mills was really the kind of guy who... he was really kind of a Jeff Cooper disciple and a very good, outspoken, very hearty guy. As a matter of fact, he's running for governor of Arizona, and I support that. The reason I bring up the whole thing about Gunsight is they, like any major firearms training organization, have negligent discharges, and occasionally people get hurt. Now, the interesting thing with Gunsight is oftentimes when somebody gets hurt, it's somebody else that gets hurt rather than the actual shooter who fires a negligent discharge down their round or into their support hand, which is in the wrong spot. Oftentimes, other people are getting shot. I shouldn't say oftentimes. It's been a couple of times that I'm aware of in the last, I think, 3 years that this has happened. When it comes to students out at Front Sight, generally they're shooting themselves down their leg or in their hand. And that's been... very, very, guys, by the way, I just want to let you know, these are incredibly small numbers. When you take percentages, there's a point, and then a 0, 0, and then maybe a number somewhere after that this ever even happens. there was a case at Frontsite where a student was supposed to be dry practicing, but instead they had live ammo in their gun. And instead of using the solid outer wall door, they were using their neighbor's drywall and ended up launching around, went through the wall, both sides of the wall. Obviously, the first piece, then there's the empty space, then the second piece, went into the bed, and somebody was sitting on the bed, and the bullet bounced off that person's ass and left a mark. It did not penetrate, so that's the closest anybody's come to shooting someone else so far. An instructor got shot in the leg with a .22 about a year and a half ago. Some student was fumbling around in the parking lot towards the end of the night during the night shoot, and a .10-22 went off and shot him in the calf. However, you won't read that on the incident board. They want to deny that one. Anyhow, the thing is out at gun sight this last week, somebody got shot. There was a student out there on the range, and I think it was, I think they were cops or something. It said colleague, so I would imagine maybe it was some sort of a cop or security or something. I'm only guessing. There was a catwalk back above the range, so you could stand up there and really get a bird's eye view of what's going on. And, the shooter was told, look, this is your downrange area. All the other areas, and demonstrated, you know, back here, up here, blah, 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 those are not downrange areas. Those are off limits. This is your downrange area. Do you understand? Yes, I understand. Okay. Well, there was one of his colleagues up on the catwalk watching. And so as this guy's going through shooting and moving, he does the right thing. He does not get involved in tunnel vision. He sees a target, tunnel vision, and boom, comes down. When he's done with that, he opens his vision right back up, looking around, scanning. He sees some dark-colored movement in a human silhouette fashion up behind him a bit. So he turns, recognizes an armed target, and boom, shoots, which was his colleague, and the guy takes a round to the abdomen. He's fine, by the way. He's gonna fully recover from what we're told. The range staff immediately called 911 and started doing medical care there. Paramedics came out, and he was flown out and was in good condition that night after surgery to remove the bullet. Caliber, I don't know. Any more specifics than that, I don't know. I bring this up really so you understand, guys, when you're doing firearms training, everyone needs to be made aware of the safety issues. Especially when it comes to downrange area, and point things out. Like in that case, I would imagine the right thing to do, and this may have happened, would be this catwalk up here. You see that? Yeah, human beings go up there to watch you, so nothing up there is going to be a target. Don't even turn around on it. Well, that would be a good heads up. You know, there's nobody going to be here. Nobody going to, don't shoot back here. Don't shoot back there. This is your downrange area. It's a range fan of 60 degrees in front of you from right to left. 60, that's it. The other 120 degrees, they are 300 degrees, pardon me, is all safe. So don't be shooting there. This is your range fan. There's going to be people back here, so you don't shoot that. Okay. Well, you know, that makes good information. There's going to be people back there. Good. Now, he may have gotten that brief. I don't know. Gunsight is put together. They know what they're doing. But this scenario, you just, as you can tell, people get a little carried away, and they're like, all right, you know, I'm really into this. People really get into the training when the scenario is put together properly, and oftentimes they forget that they're in a training school because for that moment or for those moments, they're in a good, solid scenario. Sometimes, as I learned when I was doing this training out at Frontsite, was oftentimes the students who were out there would go into a scenario realizing, you know what, I'm at a shooting school, I'm in a shooting course, that must mean that there's going to be some shooting going on in the scenario. And oftentimes we'd set up a scenario where there was no shooting at all because people get into the mindset of, well, you know what, I must need to shoot. I designed a scenario one time that was a kid's birthday party. A kid's outdoor birthday party. You show up, you hear a bunch of noises going on. You hear pop, 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 pop. You hear some kids screaming just as you're showing up to see what's happening, pick up your kid. So go in and see what's going on. You go through this door, there's kind of a patio area and then a big yard area. On a smaller range, we set this up. There's a covered patio area where the students would normally sit for class, and then the gravel area and all the berms. So it's a good 90-degree range. It'd be forward and then off to your right. And you go in there, you have all these photographic targets and props and things, a pinata, a guy standing there with a stick next to a pinata. And you'd be amazed at how many people went in there and shot the guy with the stick standing there next to the pinata. And then there was actually a table with a fake styrofoam decorated cake on it and a guy standing behind it with a party hat and a knife in his hand getting ready to cut the cake. You'd be surprised how many people shot the guy with the stick and shot the guy cutting the cake because they're at a shooting school and you hear pop, 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 and some kids screaming. Yeah, because they were party poppers, party favors. Party favors. So, anyhow, just so you understand, when you're out there, you're in a course, you're doing some training, you have to make absolutely, wow, that's a lot, you have to make absolutely certain that everyone realizes there's going to be other people in certain areas and not to shoot in that area. We can learn from the mistake that happened with these guys at gunsight. And I'm talking about the students, not in the staff. The staff there is very tuned up. I doubt that anything was really amiss there. I just want you to be aware. Everyone needs to be aware of your range fans. Stay tuned. There's more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. This whole immigration reform in Arizona has really taken off. I mean, it's really garnished a lot of attention. As a matter of fact, in Minnesota, Republicans introduced the Arizona-style immigration legislation. Just a quick little sentence here. Minnesota House Republicans rolled out their own brand of Arizona-inspired immigration legislation on Thursday, which they said was necessary to deal with the estimated 100,000 illegal immigrants in Minnesota. Now, in Arizona, you can add at least another zero behind that. So I'm not sure really how bad the problem in Minnesota might be. I mean, it's a northern state. It's very cold. I don't know. It's entirely up to them. But I do have to tell you this. On Friday, the governor of Arizona hit back against Obama with some remarks on YouTube. Governor Jan Brewer took a swipe at President Barack Obama on Friday, releasing a YouTube video that criticizes the commander-in-chief for making light of the Arizona's border struggles. The piece, which was released by Brewer's election campaign, flashes statistics about border-related crime, then cuts to a video of Obama's remarks at the recent White House Correspondents' Dinner, where he did a little stand-up bit. In the snippet, Obama is at the podium and says, "We all know what happens in Arizona when you don't have ID. Adios, amigos." His remarks, which were in reference to SB 7010, the state's tough new immigration law, and Republican Senator John McCain's assertion that he has not been identified as a maverick, drew laughter from the crowd. The Brewer campaign video that fades to a stark black screen says, "No one in Arizona is laughing. Do your job and secure the border." Brewer, who signed the legislation into law on April 23rd, has repeatedly said in public appearances and on the stump that the Obama regime and Congress have ignored multiple requests for border security assistance. Her campaign reiterated that on Friday. In response to a request, the governor's office turned over a letter to the president and two other letters that were sent to the Obama regime and to Congress seeking assistance for funding on border security issues as well as additional remarks and speeches on the topic. The White House declined to officially comment on the video Friday, but a regime official referred to the Republic newspaper to other remarks the president has recently made in which he acknowledged the illegal immigration challenges facing the nation, which means blah, 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 means absolutely nothing. On April 23rd, during a nationalization ceremony for active duty service members, Obama went to tout steps his administration has taken under Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, former governor of Arizona, including strengthening security at the nation's borders, ports, and airports, which is a lie. They haven't done any of that. The violence up and down the border, the porousness of the border, is at an all-time high. The regime also pointed to the president's comments on Cinco de Mayo as evidence of its commitment to address the problem. But it's not, that addressing isn't going to do anything. He says, our way to fix our broken immigration system is through common sense, comprehensive immigration reform, the president said. We need bipartisan support, but it can be done. It needs to be done. Now, this is exactly the statement you can make on anything. Let's say that we're going to talk about importing of, or exporting of vegetables, exporting of grain. Let's use that. The way to fix our broken grain exportation system is through common sense, comprehensive reform. We need bipartisan support. It can be done, and it needs to be done. Okay, so that's a generic statement. Just insert particular topic here. Let's say that we're dealing with vehicle imports. The way to fix our broken vehicle import system is to have common sense, comprehensive reform. We need bipartisan support. It can be done, and it needs to be done. I could go on and on. It makes me sick, guys. You know, I had kind of, a late breakfast, early lunch, I guess brunch of sorts, if you will, with Dave Champion yesterday. On a Sunday, just sat down and just hung out for a couple hours over a meal. And I told him my thoughts related to individuals who have other individuals come into their life that they would pretty quickly rebuff and then suggest to others they not deal with that person because they are such a low-life scumbag, such an untrustworthy low-life scumbag. And then related that to the entire election system when it comes to elected officials. And, of course, the conversation started with just talking about individuals before I really rolled it into that comparing to elected officials, which I'm going to share with you in the next break, as soon as we come back from the next break. We're also going to talk a little bit about some anti-illegal immigration marches that went on around the country on May Day and how some of these people were attacked. So stay tuned. We'll get to all of that after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back, guys. Okay, so if you knew somebody, let's say you met someone, and this person was just a very smiley, you know, like one of those big plastic fake smiles. Let me give you a perfect example. And I'm going to do a stereotypical thing here. The stereotypical big city real estate agent. Okay? The big city typical realtor. They drive a fancy car that they have detailed twice a week. Immaculate clothing that screams realtor. Maybe if they wear glasses, they're a little gaudy. There's a little bit too much emphasis on it. Maybe they're a little too cleaned and polished. You know, just a little too much. Everything has their picture on it. Let's say you met somebody who was like that. Doesn't matter what industry they're in. That's really doesn't matter. But you know, you're immediately like, something's not right with this person. Always smiling. And then you realize they're always talking, but they never really say anything. They speak well. But you could go to a dinner party and these people are talking and talking and talking. And at the end of the night, you never really learned anything. Because their talking was just hot air. And then on the occasion you actually ask a very direct or pointed question, they give you one of two answers. Either one that's in a big loop that really says nothing. Or you find out later that they lied. You might even know something about it, and their response is a lie. Or just simply not straight up. And you know it because you're involved in this particular subject matter. You know, now wait a minute. What about blah da 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 da? Well, you know, that's not all exactly the way it's, you know. It's like the whole thing with global warming. It's like, wait a minute. The scientists have shown that this is bull. In fact, the temperature is dropping across the world. Well, you know, in certain areas that might be so, but we have dealings with global ice caps, and they just speak in glittering generalities and completely blow over your objection. If you met somebody like that, I guarantee you would not trust them. Am I right? Would anybody out there trust someone like that? No. Like if you were going out of town, let's say you're going to go on a family trip for 3 weeks. You needed somebody to check the mail and pick up the newspaper, you know? Would you have them doing that? No. No, you wouldn't. Even if they were, you know, they lived right down the street. That is not the person you would call. If you needed help, maybe, I don't know, hanging a rafter, so hanging something in your garage for storage or whatever, would you go and ask them for help? No, probably not. And would you trust them? No. Whatever industry they were in, would you recommend other people to go do business with them? Let's say it was a realtor. And this person just never was quite right. You look at the different houses that they sell, and they always have an excuse why their houses always had black mold that somebody found later when they were doing some sort of a retrofit a month after they bought the thing from this roof. Oh, I got an excuse. Or, you know, why a particular certificate was made from a different company and it actually something really wasn't covered. And you realize this is the type of person that you're dealing with. Would you recommend them to people that you know and your friends to go buy real estate from? The answer is unequivocally no. Absolutely not. So then my question becomes this. What I'm talking about are not realtors in general. What I'm talking about are elected officials that represent us at the highest level, at the federal level. If that's the way these people are, why do some of us continue to vote for people like that? And why do some of us campaign for people like that? Why? I don't get it. And I cannot stand the idea of the lesser of two evils. I can't stand it. I just can't. Harry Reid, the scumbag, the dirty dealing, double talking, never, ever gets any sort of direct information from any of his constituents and never considers anything that a single constituent has to say unless they were a major donor to his campaign. I mean, absolutely sealed off from his constituents. Sealed off in a bubble. Completely sealed off. You can't call and get him on the phone. And no matter what you say, it's not going to get back to him. You cannot email and get anything to the, through email. And you cannot even do a handwritten letter and get it to him. It's all completely shielded. And this scumbag says, well, the American people want this. Or the people of Nevada want that. And he's absolutely wrong. They don't want this. And we sure as to hell don't want that. And one of the things that the polls have shown we certainly do not want is Harry Reid representing us any longer. Now, a couple of Republicans are up against him. Probably his strongest challenger right now is a lady by the name of Sue Loudon. Now, when Dave Patton sat in for me when I was off in California shooting Top Shot with the History Channel, Dave Patton sat in for a couple of weeks. And Dave is a fan of Sue Loudon. I have to say that Sue is would be much better than Harry Reid when it comes to representing the people. However, I have some issues. Sue Loudon formally supported Harry Reid. Formally supported him to the tune of donating money. And it was out of the bag a long time ago what a scumbag he was. When Ronald Reagan was president, one of the things he said when Harry Reid was running for office, his first term in the Senate, he said something along the lines of, do you really want a tax and spend, not interested in what's good for you, but interested in what's good for his special interest groups type of liberal going into office? Because if you look at the history of Harry Reid, he's never had a real job. It's always been some sort of a juice job. He's never had anything in the private sector. The guy is worth millions. And public sector jobs don't pay that well. Do you really want a guy like that? A career guy who, a guy who makes a career out of sucking off the public coffers and backroom deals to better himself. Is that really who you want representing you? Of course, the answer is no, but not everybody listened to that. So, the other thing is, Sue Loudon, she is conservative. She's a business owner. They own, it's the Sahara Hotel Casino in town on Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara Boulevard. Good-sized property. It's been there a long time. They've owned it for maybe 10 years or so. Have owned a couple of other properties in town. She was a journalist in town, was actually an anchor on the CBS affiliate maybe 15 years ago or so. So I'm wondering if this is a lesser of two evils. I don't know. I know she's more conservative than Harry Reid, but then again, a mound of termites are more conservative than Harry Reid because they gobble up less of the foundation of America than a bunch of termites. And we're even talking in perspective, their size compared to Harry Reid. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what to do about this one when it comes to where my vote's going to go, where my support's going to go. And I'm looking at it very closely because the last time we had a Democrat who was the majority leader for them was Tom Daschle, and he got voted out. So we're looking to have a repeat with Harry Reid, who is an absolute political prostitute. Just wherever the money comes from, I will do it. There is one single redeeming feature of Harry Reid, and that's it, one. And that is, he is not a anti-gun, banner-toting zealot. He does not toe the party line when it comes to being anti-gun. That's it. That is the only saving grace. I am not a one-issue voter. I don't vote for people based solely on their platform for guns. Otherwise, I'd have voted for Harry Reid several times. I have never voted for Harry Reid. I've always voted against that guy. So, just some of the stuff going on here. And that it affects everybody because Harry Reid is the one who decides what matters get brought to the Senate floor. So Nevada has a very strong interest in this election. We do not want him to continue on with this. Okay, we're going to get back to this immigration thing real quick. In San Francisco, anti-illegal immigration activists were attacked by May Day marchers. Now, these are the words from a reporter, Lisa Amin Guzalian, Guzalian. Lisa Amin Guzalian was the reporter, and she was saying back to the booth, Alan, for the most part, the event was peaceful. Just about an hour ago, three people were attacked, and two others were arrested. The people who were assaulted were part of the Minutemen demonstration in favor of the Arizona's new gun immigration law. They said a large group of immigrant rights supporters followed them to the BART station on Market Street and started punching and kicking them and calling them names. Now, Parker Wilson, they call him a Bay Area anarchist. Parker Wilson, a Bay Area resident, he said the following. They said we were racist, that we were against them and against their town and against San Francisco. And what they were saying, they said we needed to get out, and they called us racist and that we needed to go home. They just attacked my friend and me. The city square was at San Francisco, the city square, which is a reporting agency, was at the San Francisco protest and captured the border sabotage. Spotted in the window of a San Francisco shop. It didn't get vandalized, naturally. It said, in Denver, I don't have that picture. I can't even comment on that. Erase the last 5 seconds of radio. Basically what this is getting down to, guys, is that we have a lot of, in this case, almost entirely Mexicans. Many of them legal, most of them not, protesting the protesters. Protesting supporters, in fact, of this Immigration Reform Act in Arizona. And it gets violence. There's a lot of violence going on. People are getting hit. Businesses are getting vandalized just up one side of the street and down the other. We talked about that in New Mexico, where at least $100,000 worth of damage happened to a week ago Saturday, was it? And it never made the national news. It barely made the local news, where we had a bunch of Mexicans, a lot of them illegal, in New Mexico, marching on a street. It got violent, and just downtown, shattering windows, of course, spray painting, which is a, oh my God. If you really want to be a stereotypical illegal immigrant, you're a stereotypical illegal immigrant going, gee, and spray painting something. You did yourself no favors by spray painting the buildings downtown. Anyhow. Guys, really, all I have to say is, for those of you who are protesting the people supporting this law, or if you're out there as some sort of a Mexican descendant, or you're illegal yourself, and you're out there and you're getting violent, and you're causing all kinds of destruction and mayhem, all I have to say is keep it up, guys. Just keep doing it. You're doing yourself no favors whatsoever. And the people who are on the fence, when they see this sort of stuff, well, they're not going to be on the fence too often or for too long. And they're going to be jumping right onto the same side as the people in Arizona that have had enough. And it's going to sweep across the country. This is a very, very divided issue. Very divided issue. Generally, you're either for, totally for this law that passed in Arizona, or you're totally against. And nearly three quarters of the people, over 70% of the people in Arizona, are for it. Which, coincidentally, is the same number of people who are for it across the country. Now, we're going to tie this whole thing together with the whole analogy of the people in D.C. Remember the whole thing about if they were some sort of scuzzball realtor, right? And I'm not picking on real estate agents. I'm just using that as an example. I had to pick one industry. And realtors, I'm sorry, but you're easy to pick on because too many people in your industry are very plastic and fake and trying to put across an image. And when they're done with the image, they go on the back and they scratch themselves and smoke a cigarette and then spray perfume on themselves to hide all that when they're done. They come back out of the watershed. Anyhow, you've got 70% of the American population saying we support the way things are going down in Arizona with this immigration reform. That's what we support. And what happens in D.C.? The vast majority of the people in D.C. are saying, that's right, everybody wants immigration reform. So what we're going to do is find a way to provide amnesty and a way for citizenship. We're not going to give them citizenship, but an easy avenue for citizenship and get them, you know, getting paid not under the table but over the table, get them filling out W-2s so we can tax their wages, which is illegal anyhow, and going on this whole deal because that's the way the American people. No, no, no. The American people want action. And the thing is, we know the action that we want. Don't hear us say we want action. Then you decide, oh, well, then action means something that benefits us. So we can look like the saviors and get all these people to quickly register to vote and vote for us, skewing the elections. That's what we're dealing with, guys. More after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm going to read a little story that someone came out with. It was a statement made by someone who witnessed protests in New York City, but with vandals who were of Hispanic descent and didn't much care for Arizona's new law. So we're just going to pick up in the middle of this. About an hour later, we were heading to a concert on the NYU campus and started walking down Broadway towards Astor Place. We started hearing lots of police sirens all at once and looked straight ahead. There were young guys with baseball bats and cheese signs pinned to their backpacks, running down the street and smashing store windows with their bats, all on the west side of Broadway. We stopped dead on a corner because there were police cars coming from so many different directions, the streetlights were rendered meaningless. As soon as we stopped, about six NYPD units pulled up to our exact corner, and the cops jumped out and tackled two of the vandals literally 2 feet in front of me. Some other officers arrived, jumped out of their cars, and started a crazy foot pursuit of another guy who started running in a zigzag manner down the middle of Broadway. They tackled him as well in the middle of the freaking street, as cars kept almost hitting everyone involved. It happened incredibly quick. There were tons of eyewitnesses, and I even saw a few people videotaping all the vandalism. But of course, I can't find mention of this incident anywhere online or in the media. Imagine that. He said they just kept breaking windows. Imagine that. Why didn't it make the media? Why? Guys, this is something that's really a pretty deep question. It's not just something that I can answer. Why this isn't making the media? Evidently, it doesn't serve their larger corporate purpose. If it served their larger corporate purpose, then it would be out there. Maybe some of these people were employees of NBC. I just don't know. Not only do I not know, guys, I just don't get it. It makes no sense at all. None. None. And it drives me pretty nuts on top of that. It really just drives me crazy. The people of the United States need to realize that if you sneak into other countries around the globe, you don't get all of the free crap that you get when you come to this country. As in people looking to hire you. and free medical care. Come on in and join our schools. Hell, in a lot of places, you can come get a driver's license, amigo. A lot of other countries, you're arrested. Some places, you're killed, and you're always deported. But for some reason here, it just doesn't go down that way. We need to change things. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2-way radio show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.